followers of Jesus are called to pray for all people, including even hostile governing authorities, so that we may live peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified lives.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, I'm going to put some pictures up on the screen in a moment here. And as I do so, I want you to reflect on what comes to mind for you. What are some of the first thoughts that you have when you see these pictures here? But as we did last week with something like this, I do not want you to say it out loud, all right? I want you to keep it to yourself. So what are the things that come to your mind when you see these pictures? But keep it to yourself for just now, okay? Here we go. There's the first one. Here is another one. Here's another one. And here is the last one. I heard that out loud out there just a moment ago. Okay. All right. Now, among all of the various thoughts you may have had, I wonder if perhaps one of those thoughts might have been this: you know, I need to pray for that person. I need to pray for that person. And if you did think that you need to pray, I wonder, did you think, oh yes, I need to pray for that person, but maybe when another picture came up, you said, oh, I don't want to pray for that person. If so, why? Because, you know, the scriptures tell you and me to pray for all people, including those in position of authority and government over us, to pray for all of them. So as we continue in our series here today in 1 Timothy and Titus, we're looking at this command of God here to pray for all people. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And what I want us to take away from this today is this thought here, that followers of Jesus are called to pray for all people, including even hostile governing authorities, so that we may live peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified lives. So again, we'll be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First, a little context here. As you know, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor who was presiding over the church in Ephesus, and he was encouraging Timothy to stand firm in right doctrine and right living. But I think it's also important for us to know, to understand, that as he is writing these things to Timothy, the church was undergoing persecution, severe persecution at the hands of the governing authorities. How severe? Well, we're going to look at that in just a moment. So understand, as he says to pray for all, he's including even not just governing authorities we like or are friendly to us or our beliefs or causes, but even hostile governing authorities. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1 then. Paul says, well, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for who? All people. For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So I want us to see then and reflect on here as we look at that text here. So I want to see that, first of all, that God is pleased. God is pleased when we pray for all people. Here he says, I am urging this. By the way, sometimes we read scripture and we see things that sound like, yeah, that's a good idea, or I suppose I should be doing that, and treat it almost as if it's kind of an optional kind of thing. Well, you know, I guess that'd be a good thing. Yeah, if I feel like it, I'll do it. But when God puts things in his word, is that the spirit behind it? Does God say to you and me, you know, if it's convenient for you, or if you feel like it, or if it makes sense, or if you agree with it, then do this, or don't do that. No, he doesn't, does he? He tells us things, do this, or don't do that. And so one of the things that he tells us in his word is to pray, here what, in this context right here, to pray for all people, including those kings, persons in high positions of authority. In another place, Jesus there, he told people to pray also, not only to pray for your family or people you like or people who agree with you. Jesus also said to pray for your enemies, right? Pray for those who persecute you, for those who spitefully use you, or maybe even say all kinds of evil against you on account of him. Pray for even them. And again, is it an option? No, Jesus says, do it. Do it. Well, why? Well, I think there's any number of reasons why, but the most important thing is he has told us to do this, and we're called to be obedient to him, right? But it is true, though, that when we pray for people, it changes things, doesn't it? You know, this morning, we were in Wonder Lake Bible Institute. In our Bible doctrine class, we came to the subject of prayer. What does the Bible teach about prayer? And as you know, if you've been a part of that class, or even if you've been studying the scripture for any length of time, you know that there are some teachings that seem fairly straightforward to us that we're able to understand. And then there are other things, though, that touch on mystery or difficulty for us to understand. And we should expect that, shouldn't we? If this is the word of the sovereign Lord of the universe, infinitely wise and high above us, are there going to be times when he says things that we don't quite understand all of that? Absolutely. We looked at that recently with the doctrine of the Trinity and then the doctrine of God's providence or sovereignty. And how does that work out with God's sovereignty and yet people making choices and being responsible to God for those choices? There are mysteries that we'll never fully understand this side of heaven. And actually, even on the other side of it, when we are in heaven, we're still not going to completely understand everything, are we? Or else we would be God if we completely understood God in his mind and his ways. But one of the things he tells us, though, is to pray because prayer matters. How many of you believe prayer matters and makes a difference? Absolutely. Now, because that is true, does that mean if we just pray, well, then God is going to be convinced to do what we want? Now, that's not biblical teaching, is it? But God, even though he does not need you or me for anything, he chooses to work through us, doesn't he, sometimes? And he chooses, one of the ways that he works through us is through our prayer. Why? Why, when he doesn't need it? I don't know. Why don't we take it up with him when we see him face to face, right? But he says to do it, and that it makes a difference. So we know that prayer, praying in humble faith, and trust before God, it always changes us, doesn't it? It always changes our hearts. And as far as the circumstances out there, what we're praying about, it doesn't mean that it's going to change it the way we would like to, does it? But it's always going to change our hearts and minds. And it may very well affect the course of events, even though God doesn't need my prayer or yours to do that. But he tells us to do it. So he says, pray for those, for all people, including those as kings and positions of authority. And remember, who were these kings? Who were these high authorities in Paul's day as he's writing to this? You know who the Roman Caesar was at that time when he wrote this? Nero. What was Nero known for? Probably been through the burning of Rome, right? Remember that? And we're not going to get into a history lesson here now about all of that. But suffice to say, it was a bad situation. And when things go bad, what are one of the first things people like to do if there's a challenge or a problem that comes up? What do? Start pointing fingers. That never happens in our day, in our media or our political environment, where fingers start getting pointed, right, on everything. Fingers were getting pointed. Fingers were getting pointed at Nero. What did he do? Let's blame the Christians for it. The Christians burned Rome. So they were being severely persecuted. If you want to know how badly, read some church history. Fox's Book of Martyrs, things like that. One small example is that sometimes Christians were used to light the streets of Rome by night by being torches. They would use them to serve as human torches, essentially, to light the streets of Rome at night. That is the person that the Apostle Paul tells us, and God in his word tells us to pray for them. Now, in light of that, when we think about, here's the thing. I don't know if you've noticed this. There's a lot of upset in our, but besides this whole coronavirus thing here this week, going back a little ways here now, it's been a very divisive atmosphere in our country of late. Has anyone else noticed that? Is that just me, right? And as Americans, we have our opinions. We see these things that are happening. And we may not all, well, we obviously don't all agree as Americans, do we? But even as followers of Jesus Christ, we're not always going to agree on everything. But we can become very upset with this person or that political party. Or we can become very, very, we love this person or that political party. But the reality is, as followers of Jesus Christ, where is our ultimate loyalty? It's to God, to Jesus Christ, and to the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? And so what the Word of God tells you and me is to pray for all of them, all of those in authority. And if Paul can tell these believers in the church at Ephesus to pray for Nero, in light of what was going on there, do you think you and I can pray for our governing leaders, even the ones we don't like or we disagree with? I think so. Because prayer matters. It makes a difference. It changes our hearts and our minds. But in the mystery of God's providence, it changes events in the world too, doesn't it? And we don't know how God is going to respond to our prayers, but he tells us to do it. So pray for all peace, supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. When is the last time that you offered an expression of thanksgiving to God for our government, for our leaders? Well, the ones I like and I agree with, yeah, I thank God for them. What about the ones you don't like or you don't agree with? Pray for all people. And one of the reasons that we're told to do this is he says what? So that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. We're told to pray so that we might live peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified. In other words, sometimes it is our prayers then that can help to create an atmosphere that is conducive for the preaching and the presentation of the gospel. And that it can help us then that we might lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified. Because if we're not praying, we might get what? We might get really worked up and anxious about things and not be living very peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified lives. You know, I am ashamed to say, I enjoy following the news and sometimes the political discussion of things, but boy, it can really get out of control, can it, sometimes? And I'm ashamed to say that sometimes there's some stuff that goes on out there on social media, on the internet, including even by some who claim the name of Jesus Christ, who can get rather, how shall we say, ungodly and undignified, not very peaceful and quiet at all. And I don't think that speaks well of the gospel message then for us when we do that, does it? Well, one of the things that we can do then is pray then. Pray for them that we might lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. And it says, the scripture says what? God is pleased. God is pleased when we do that. God also then, the text tells us, God desires all people to be saved. God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, this is one of those verses here that we're not going to go into grand detail here about it here this morning, about what all this means and the implications of it here, because some have wondered, well, wait a minute. I thought that if God is sovereign over all things, if God has chosen believers then how is it that he's desiring all to be saved, but not everyone will believe? Or so, well, how does that all work? And my answer is, I don't know, right? I don't know how the sovereignty of God and the choices that human beings make, how that all works together there. I do know that God is sovereign. I do know that our choices matter. And I do know that the Word of God says that God's heart, God's desire, is for all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the desire of God's heart. Does that mean that everyone is going to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? Sadly, the answer is no. Not everyone is. But that does reflect God's heart or God's desire. Isn't it true that there are things that God desires of you or me? The way we live, the way we conduct ourselves? That's God's desire, but because we make choices, it doesn't happen all the time, does it? So this is a reflection of God's heart and God's desire, but it's not a reflection then of what happens then because of choices that people make. And how all that fits in with God's sovereignty, you know what, we'll consider that another time. Right now, what I want us to see, I want us to capture the heart of God in this. God's passion and God's desire for people to know the truth. To turn from sin and death and destruction and embrace hope, life, forgiveness, blessing in him. That's his heart's desire. And I want us to see that and capture that and not worry so much about the theological, philosophical angle about it just right now, okay? God is pleased when we pray for all people. God's heart, his desire, is that all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, even though not all will. That is his heart. And then two, God has provided one mediator. A mediator is what? Mediator is a go-between. And in order for you and me to stand before a righteous and holy God, in order for sinful human beings to stand before a righteous and holy God, we need a mediator, a go-between. We don't stand before God because we're all great people who deserve it and who deserve his blessing, who deserve his forgiveness, who deserve his eternal life. Now, that's all received as God's gift by grace through faith, right? So the only way that you and I can stand before a holy and righteous God is if there is a mediator between us. And who is that mediator between sinful human beings and a holy and righteous God? The man, Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus is a man, but he's more than a man, isn't he? He is also God. He is the God-man. And he is the way by which we can approach God and through faith in him find forgiveness, eternal life, eternal blessing. He's the mediator between us. So he is not only the person through whom our redemption comes, we'll look at that a little bit more in a moment, but he is also the one then through whom we are invited to come boldly to God into his presence to pray, because he is our high priest. And we can not only slink into the corner of the throne room of God and hide behind someone, no, we're invited to come boldly before him because we have a mediator. And that in him and through him, God sees us then as righteous, as holy, as his beloved, that he's eager to hear from. And he can do this because this mediator gave himself, his life, as a ransom. A ransom meant, like, if in those days there was a slave market and you would go and ransom a slave, you would pay a price and redeem them and take them out of slavery, buy them out of slavery. And so God uses that imagery for us that says that we were all slaves, slaves to sin, slaves to death. But God in Jesus Christ has ransomed us. He has purchased us out of that. He purchased it with a very high price, the blood of his son, Jesus. And so now he's purchased us from the slave market of sin and death and has given us new life. Who did it? The mediator, the God-man, Jesus Christ, gave himself as a ransom for us. And in light of that, then, God then appoints people to proclaim the gospel, the good news of how the mediator has rescued us from sin and death and given us life and hope. Paul specifically is speaking how God has appointed him as an apostle to the Gentiles. But isn't it also true that God has appointed all who believe in Jesus to proclaim that very same gospel, good news? Yes. We call that when Scripture calls it the Great Commission, that he has called you and me to go out into the world, our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, wherever we are, and to faithfully proclaim good news, to make disciples, followers of Jesus, students and learners after him, and to teach them, instruct them in all that Jesus has given us. So you and I have the privilege, the responsibility, and the joy of proclaiming good news. So what? What should we do with this, with what we've just read here in God's Word today? Well, I remind us again where we started, that followers of Jesus are called to pray for all people, including even hostile governing authorities, so that we may live peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified lives. And so I would ask then, do you pray? Do you pray for all people, including even hostile governing authorities? Not the ones you like or agree with, but even hostile governing authorities. Do you pray for them? Do you endeavor to lead a godly life rather than getting caught up in all of the political argumentation and then the fear and the panic of everything that's going on around us? No, we're called to pray that we might lead peaceful and quiet, godly, dignified lives. Lives of trust and confidence in Christ. Do you endeavor then to lead a godly life, to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem? Right? And finally then, are you faithful? Are you faithful to proclaim the one mediator, Jesus Christ? Because you have been appointed, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have been appointed to proclaim that gospel, that good news, that there's hope, eternal hope in Jesus. We must turn away from sin and embrace the mediator, Jesus, and receive God's forgiveness and gift of life. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have sent a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he taught us then was to pray for all people, including even those who persecute us. Lord, it's easy for us to pray for people who are nice to us or kind to us, who love us, or we love them. But Lord, you call us to love all and to pray for all, including those who aren't kind to us and even persecute us, abuse us, spitefully use us. And Lord, this is not just the people in our immediate circle of influence. Lord, you even call us then to pray for those in the highest positions in our land, in our world. So Lord, then we do pray, as we did a little bit earlier here, Lord, we do pray then right now for our leaders, for our governing authorities, Lord, whether it's in Washington or Springfield or wherever it may be, or here in McHenry County, Lord. We pray for your wisdom, that you would shower wisdom upon them, that you would give them wisdom in dealing with this situation right now that we're dealing with here, Lord, that you would give them great wisdom, that you would calm the fear and the panic among the people, and that you would do this for your glory, that you would be magnified ultimately through it all. And God, I pray for us as followers of Jesus then too, that we would be a part of tamping down some of the hatred and the division in our country now too, as we pray faithfully for all, not just the ones we agree with, whatever our beliefs may be, Lord, that we would pray for all, that we would lead peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified lives, and be agents and ministers proclaiming the good news of the one mediator, Christ Jesus. May we proclaim him faithfully, Lord, and we give all the praise and the honor, the glory to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.